Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. They also provide plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We are on the phone this afternoon with one of my favorite baseball players of all time, 17 years in the major leagues, one of the great hitters, Mr. Daryl Strawberry. Daryl, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jim. I really appreciate you this morning.
Hey, Daryl, we have had quite a 2020 for all of us. COVID has just knocked us all down a little bit, and you've written a new book. It's called Turn Your Season Around. You have an amazing story about how God has taken you from some pretty low points. You had an amazing career as a baseball player, but now God is working in your life and working in you and your wife to do all kinds of ministry things. So I want to start by saying, in your new book, you use many examples from your own life to talk about God's saving grace. Is it painful for you to talk about the struggles, and do you still find meaning and fresh revelation when you reflect on your past?
I find meaning and revelation from the past. I mean, you know, when you get to know God and you have a relationship with God and you're not straddling the fence and you're not on the outside and you're just saying his name, but you're in a personal relationship with him, then you understand God and you understand why he saves you and why he cares for all of us, and he meets us right where we at. But you have to completely surrender yourself to God to be able to understand that. And I think that's the problem with so many of us as people. We don't make that complete commitment. It wasn't until I made that commitment to God to be able to be in a relationship with him and know how to walk with him. And he reminds you of, you know, all the other people he used in the Bible. None of them was perfect. They all had issues. But he picked them from certain places, and he used them for his glory. And he does the same thing in our lives if we allow him to be Lord over our life. And when I say that, Jim, I mean allow him to rule and reign over our life and just don't say his name but follow his principles.
Daryl, in your book, again, Turn Your Season Around, amazing book, great read. In some ways, I'm sad because I hated to hear about a lot of the difficulties you were going through. A lot of us have been fans of yours and Major League Baseball and seeing all the things that you accomplished. But you coin a phrase, you use the word sin to represent as an acronym for self-indulgence now. Why is sin so destructive?
Well, it's very destructive. You know, sin keeps you completely separated from God. And I think the average person don't understand that from the beginning of Adam and Eve when you go back and read about the story. And then you understand, you know, what sin really does. You know, it completely separates you from this personal commitment and relationship with God. And I think so many of us struggle with it. And it was from my sinful ways, you know, that kept me separated for so long. It wasn't until I repented to God and asked him for forgiveness and then started moving forward, which is a process. It's not an overnight miracle, which people call a suddenly miracle from God. That's not suddenly, you know, it's a period of time of working your way through, of getting out of your sinful lifestyle and being able to come in a righteous relationship with God. And I'm so grateful for everything I went through, the falls and the trials and the tribulations, because had I not went through them, Jim, I probably would have made another $70 million playing Major League Baseball, and I probably wouldn't have never met Jesus. I know I wouldn't have never met Jesus because the lifestyle would have kept me separated from Jesus, because I would have thought I had everything, which I thought before I had everything, but I really had nothing until I met Jesus.
Yeah. Daryl, in a minute, I'm going to ask you about where you were in your own walk, in your own self-destructive behavior about 1993. But before I ask you the question, I want to tell you something that I observed. You are actually a very special individual. Despite all of your difficulties, we're all so happy to hear about you doing evangelism and sharing your faith. And you're not just working in Christian circles. I understand that you're working with autistic children as well. But here's what I want you to know that we all saw. I interviewed two young men. You may not have remembered them, but there was a gentleman named Steve Harney and a gentleman named Rich Harbin. They were both clubbies with the Albuquerque Dukes in June of 1993. When you came to Albuquerque, you were on assignment from the Dodgers for a six-day rehab. And as part of what we're going to be, you know, promoting in terms of this interview and letting people know about your book, again, Turn Your Season Around, is we feel like your book and your life is really going to be a great example for all of us to come back from 2020 to put everything we have in the hands of God. Steve Harney and Rich Harbin, though, had some things to say about you at a time when I think you were probably not yet committed to the Lord. They said they described you as humble and kind and generous, even though you were like this, you know, baseball superstar. You didn't even mind having a locker near the door, which was kind of like the dregs of the clubhouse. And they had had experiences with other major league players coming down to AAA that would displace other players. And they said that you would have none of that. In fact, Rich Harbin's wife used to prepare meals for the team. And he said, look, I want your wife to have a few days off, and you bought the team all the meals. And I just have to say, while you were in New Mexico, we saw, even though you may not have been aware of it, we saw God working in your life.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, and I really appreciate that. I just think it's important to love people and care for others. I mean, my mother raised me that way and taught me that way. Don't ever get too big for your britches, she used to say. And, you know, and I remember that. I remember that from my dear sweet mother. It doesn't matter how much success I was having and how big, you know, people may have looked at me. I had this, you know, humility about myself to understand that caring for, loving and treating everybody the same way. And, you know, I just remember that time being down there, and I just remember being with young players, and, you know, here it is, I was a major league player, and, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. I just, you know, I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do, just be a part and fit in, and don't try to be like a major league star, you know, whatever I was at that time, but just be one of the guys. And, you know, it was my treat to be able to treat those guys and feed those guys and just be around those guys, you know. And I was going through a process of rehabilitation and everything to try to get back to playing and everything. And, you know, you respect where you come from. I always had this great respect about where I came from. You know, I came from the minor leagues just like every other player, and I always wanted to make sure that they know if you work hard and you treat people right, you know, you can, you know, achieve what you're looking forward to achieve in life. And it's not always baseball, you know, for a lot of those guys, but I just love those guys, you know, doing my time. Anytime I was playing ball that I would go down to the minor leagues and see young players, I just love players, and I always wanted them to understand, just be yourself and be kind to people.
And here's something that I personally witnessed. Your last game with the Albuquerque Dukes, again, a six-day stint. I can't remember if it was like the fourth game of your stint because you had a couple games on the road with them. But your last game in Albuquerque was on a Sunday afternoon. And I watched you after the game have a line of over 100, 200 kids. It was just a ton. I stayed in the stands and watched you sign the autographs and talk to every single young person that wanted to say hello to you before you left the stadium. And I just got to tell you, it makes me almost want to cry just thinking about that years ago.
Well, I think it's important that you understand who you are and why you've been put in this position. And I realized that when I was a baseball player, that kids were important, and it was important to be able to interact with them and spend time with them more than anything. I think I used to do that every day, you know, at Vero Beach and spring training, you know, people just say, why would you stay hours and hours and sign autographs? Because people are important. You make people happy. And, you know, that's really what it was all about. You know, people make me happy when they cheer me on when I was out there playing and being a baseball player. I think a lot of times people don't realize and understand how hard it is, you know, to be out there and have so much going on in your life. When I was a baseball player, I had so much going on in my life. The fans were the most important part that I gravitated towards. And you know, I'm forever thankful for that, you know. And I don't care if it's 200, 300, I was going to sign all day. It doesn't it didn't matter to me to be out there signing autographs and interacting with people, because I thought that was the best part of what the game was really all about. You know, on the field, there was always a lot of pressure to perform and play and everything. And I was really good at that, so I really never worried about that because I knew that part would come through. But I would always respect the fact that, you know, people come to the ball games, little kids come to the ball games with baseball cards and baseballs, and they want autographs. And I think players should always do that. You should never turn the other way and walk away like you got too many other things to do, because you really don't. You have all day to do whatever else you need to do.
Well, I'm so impressed, and I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to be any negativity here today, but I will tell you that I saw other Major League Baseball players come down to the Albuquerque Dukes, and they did not display the kindness and everything going on in your life. And we know, Daryl, from your book and other things, I just watched your documentary with your friend Doc Gooden on 3030 documentary with ESPN. And I know that you have just a heart now to just share the free gift of Jesus. You talk about it's important to accept Jesus and his free gift of salvation on his terms, not ours. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I talk about is on his terms is being able to love others and not preach to others. You know, when you finally accept Jesus and have the love of God in your life, I think the light needs to shine through us. We need to be bold with the gospel. I'm really bold with the gospel because I studied Billy Graham, you know, someone that I really idolized, you know, as far as preaching the gospel, because he was very bold with the gospel of bringing people to salvation. And it's nothing to play with. You know, people are in a time frame of life, and you don't know when it's going to be over, and you don't know how many times you're going to have the opportunity to hear, you know, the gospel of salvation. And I think so many people remove themselves from that because they feel like they want to stay in their own lifestyle of living. And I think, you know, preaching the gospel for me is just to convey it to the people that Christ loves us no matter how broken we are. You know, all the broken pieces of us, if we could just trust him and look at me, I'm a prime example. He put me back together. He found me in a pit and put me in a pulpit. I'm not even qualified to be in a pulpit preaching the gospel. But here it is. I've been preaching for 12 years now because of what God will do in your life if you trust him and you believe in him. And so I think it's important that, you know, you be bold about the gospel, but you don't be preachy over people and tell them you need to do this. No, this is a free gift here if you really want it. You know, I'm a prime example that he gives it to you freely and you don't deserve it. Because I try to teach people what grace is all about. You know, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, you know, in that 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he's telling you, I'm giving you grace that you really don't deserve, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And when you can understand what grace is, then you'll understand who Christ is.
You mentioned earlier in our interview, Daryl, that wealth and fame were like intoxicants for you, that if you would have stayed in Major League Baseball, you would have made a lot more money and never met Jesus. What other factors can get between us and God?
Well, I think our egos, you know, our egos and our pride, self-centeredness, look at me and look who I am. You know, I'm this great athlete or whatever star or whatever doctor or lawyer, and I live a privileged life, and I really don't need God. Why do I need God when I have all this stuff, you know? And that's what gets in the way of so many of us, and we don't understand, you know, we don't understand the relationship is far greater than any stuff that we will ever have or any success that we will ever achieve. And a lot of us don't understand that one day God's going to call your name, and that's going to be the final thing. Will you be ready, you know, when he calls your name? And I think a lot of us don't understand that part of our life. That gets in the way. And so I'm glad that I'm glad that I watched my mother walk with Christ. And I was living a heathen life, a womanizer, alcoholic, drug addict. And there she was praying for me when I found the journal under her bed after her passing, praying for me that God would knock me off of my throne and save me. And her prayers came to pass, you know, and I'm forever grateful for my mother. And I'm forever grateful for my wife, Tracy, who like little over 18 years, well, 21 years ago, I got 18 years of recovery, but over 21 years ago, because she got 21, she was pulling me out of dope houses when I was shooting dope, smoking crack, saying, God's got a plan for you. And I says, why don't you and that God just leave me here and let me die? She said, you're just not that lucky. So that reminds me of the importance of God always using people to help people.
Amen. We're on the phone this afternoon with Daryl Strawberry, former Major League Baseball player, author of, actually, you've written a couple of books, but your new book is called Turn Your Season Around. I think everybody listening to the show today can literally say, yeah, we all need to turn our season around, even if we're walking with the Lord, because 2020 has just been a crazy time. We're going to be back with Daryl Strawberry in just a minute. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're back with Daryl Strawberry, former Major League Baseball player. Sometimes, Daryl, and you probably get frustrated with this because I know you're serving the Lord, and probably the more you get close to the Lord, you realize how insignificant we are. But the work that he's doing in your life really is amazing. But as a baseball fan, I got to sit back and go, this is a guy that was drafted first in Major League Baseball by the New York Mets. I mean, you're the number one guy picked. And then you just had this storied career. And I just have to say, I mean, just for fun, it was a blast to watch you play. And I've already mentioned a couple of the emotional moments I had personally watching you with the Albuquerque Dukes, when I know you were struggling a little bit against signing autographs for people. I even had Rich Harbin and Steve Harney tell me that when you showed up, the first time you arrived for the Dukes, you took all your time to sign autographs for all the adults that were out there ready to greet you at the baseball stadium. So again, thanks for your kindness. Thanks for just everything you've meant to our city. Our show is called ABQ Connect. We have listeners from every faith, people that are even not of faith like to listen because we talk about contemporary issues. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be encouraged by what you have to say to us today. I want to go now to, you had, I guess, an appearance on the Celebrity Apprentice, and that's kind of a process being part of that program. But you learned, you had some sacrifices that you had to make. Tell us why it is essential to keep watch for temptation.
Well, it's so important to understand what temptations are and be real to yourself about it. You know, a lot of Christians are Christians, but they allow themselves to cross over into too many other things, too many worldly things. And you're supposed to remove yourself from that. And, I understand the scriptures, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I used to always think about that, when temptations come, how do you remove yourself? How do not be conformed? It doesn't mean that you're better than anybody. It means that you just remove yourself. You find a way to remove yourself from certain temptations in life. And, and part of it was me being on the show, The Celebrity Apprentice. I know the president. He's a dear friend and everything. And I know being on the show at the time, he wasn't the president, but I was on his show, and it was fun at the beginning. And then I started seeing a lot of different things, behind the scenes, drinking and a different language. And I just knew that it was time for me. I mean, my life was changing, and I was going in a different direction. And like I said before, Jim, it's not about being better than anybody. It's understanding that temptations will lead you back. If you sit there long enough, at the barbershop, you're going to eventually get a haircut hanging out with everybody. And it's just like anything else. If you sit there long enough with people, partying and talking and saying things, eventually you're going to jump in and you're going to be a part of it. You can only hold yourself for so long. And that's the reality of the temptations. I just don't understand us, as you say, people, as Christians say, well, you know, temptations don't really bother me. Well, Jesus was tempted too, just like all the rest of us. And he had great will and strength to be able to ride through the temptations. But, you know, as us in the flesh, we're not there because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. Jesus never fallen short. You know, he was the holy, righteous one. So we have to understand that the temptations that come against us, we've fallen short before in those areas of our life. And sometimes you just don't need to put yourself in places where it sets you up for a fall. So that, you know, I just thought that was a time that I just needed to slide out, you know, open the door. We lost a task and I wasn't the project manager. Michael Johnson was, and Trump was, you know, basically like, well, why do you want to go, Daryl? You didn't do anything. You know, he was basically telling me the show loves you. You know, you need to stay. But I just realized, you know, didn't want to throw anybody under the bus about what they were doing. You know, I just know that I needed to, like, exit out and just move on and continue to go forward with my walk with Christ.
Yeah, you're talking about escaping, kind of like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife came after him, and he jumped out the window and ran.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to run, you know.
Yeah, and get out of that. Daryl, this is off script a little bit, so I apologize, but I'm kind of thinking about people, even like myself, who have fallen and have done things wrong. Do we all have a trouble receiving God's grace and his forgiveness when we do fall?
Well, I think we have a trouble of understanding God's grace and God's forgiveness. You know, because it's something that we know that we really don't. When you truly start understanding that you don't deserve it, then you know that he's really good. And I think when we get to a place and think, oh, well, it's just about me, you know, and I want to do me, then we find ourselves, you know, being selfish and self-centered, and we be outside of, you know, God's plan. God's plan is so far greater than anything that we can ever imagine. I couldn't imagine in my wildest dreams, Jim, that God's plan would be to rescue me, redeem me, and restore me. But that's what happens when you understand the grace of God. That's what he does. You know, he rescues you, he redeems you, and he restores you. And he restores you to wholeness and righteousness so you can fulfill the promises over your life that he created. The promises over our life is far greater than any success, any trophies, any rings, anything that we achieve from a natural standpoint, because the promises over our life is spiritual. We get to, first we get to enter into eternal life with Christ after our life is over. But at the same time, while we're here, he will use us and all the mess that we had around us to glorify him. See, your mess become his message to help somebody else get well and find salvation. So when we start understanding all that, then we start realizing that it's no longer about me. It's about what God wants to do through me.
Mm. Daryl, you're emphasizing a lot that God does with us spiritually, but you also talk about treating our bodies with respect.
No question. Yes, we have to treat our bodies with respect and everything. And everything that we do, we keep it, you know, we keep our body, our temple, you know, holy into God. You know, I didn't keep my body temple when I was living in the flesh, but today my body is the temple that, you know, that the Holy Spirit dwells in, and I keep it holy with God. And, you know, am I perfect? No, there's no, only one perfect one, Jesus. When we stumble and fall short and bump our head, you pick yourself up, you ask the Holy Spirit, you ask the Father, and you ask the Son to forgive you, and you just move forward. You don't hold yourself hostage there. And that's the good thing about understanding your body and what it is. It's the temple. It's the temple of God that lives in. And, you know, have we all, you know, brought pollution to that before? Yes, we all have at some point in time. But when you get to a place that your relationship is more important than you, then you understand how to live. You live with your body and your soul and everything, and you live it into a holy place with God, where you separate yourself and remove yourself out of the flesh, and you start operating in a better way. And I think that's the struggle for so many Christians, That's why this book is like so full of scriptures, because Billy Graham taught me his book, reading through him. He says Christians don't know scriptures, and in the scriptures, that's where the victory is. The victory lies in the scriptures, and that's why I have so many scriptures in the book, because that's the way I preach. I preach off of scriptures because I'm victorious because of knowing the scriptures.
Mm. Daryl Strawberry is the author of Turn Your Season Around. It's a great read. I had a chance to read it this weekend. And Daryl, in the book you write, when I think about my scars from two cancer surgeries, I'm reminded of God's mercy and faithfulness. How are scars important to your story?
Well, I think scars and wounds are important to all our stories, because when you think of Jesus, he had scars and wounds. He was wounded for our transgression, you know. He was bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes, we get to be healed. So when you understand he had scars and wounds, and he wasn't afraid to show us, so why are we so afraid to show people our scars and wounds? And that's the victory that brings about when you're able to talk about your scars and your wounds, and that, because you've been healed. You've been healed by Christ. See, everything that I've been through, Jim, every scar that I've had, every wound that I had has been closed because of the blood of Jesus. He's closed it because he's healed me, you know, and he's healed me in all the areas that I was broken and that I was lacking, because nobody else can do that but Jesus, because he went to the cross and he went to the tomb, and early Sunday morning he got up, and he got up with all power. Then he was resurrected, and now he tells us we get to be resurrected too, you know, just like him, if we commit ourselves to him from all the scars and the wounds. And that's that Galatians 2:20 talk about, you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And when Christ lives in you and rule and reign in with you, those scars and the wounds are nowhere to be found in your life. People could talk about them and remind you of them, but you'd be saying, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. You know, I got victory over all that stuff. I got victory over using drugs. I got victory over being a womanizer. I got victory over all these things because of what Jesus has already done.
Mm, amen. Which of the 9 blessed characteristics in Matthew 5 hit home for you personally?
Which one?
Yeah. Can you choose one that you think hits home for you personally of the 9 blessed characteristics in Matthew 5?
I'm not there right now. Can you give me some of the characteristics?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a minute and go to I want to talk about a social issue that is very prevalent around our country, and that is abortion. And you see that as a deeply destructive, this is not something that is a real popular thing for people that have popularity or celebrity to really talk about overtly, but you talk about abortion as deeply destructive.
Well, because I'm pro-life, you know, and I live according to what the Bible talks about, and we're talking about a life being taken that was not created by us, you know, it was created by God. And I think we get away from the fact, and I think human beings get into the point where they think it's them doing, you know, all these great things. But at the end of the day, what if God had taken one of us? We wouldn't be able to be who we are today, you know, in the process of, you know, through abortions, if somebody decided, you know, that our life didn't matter, you know. And I think that's, you know, that's a real tough situation for people to understand. You know, God is the creation of us. God creates that seed, you know. Man, he just creates it through us, you know, and I think we don't understand that, when we can understand that it's very important that we let every life, you know, have a chance to come here and fulfill the promises that God has for them.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Matthew 5, and I want to read you a few. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." This is verse 3, Matthew 5, 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Number 5, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things about you because of me. And then finally, verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Mm-hmm.
So is one of those something that you kind of see in your own life? I kind of see in all that you've described today, you're blessed in many of these ways because God's purified your heart. He's been merciful to you, and he is to all of us. And you've always been a gentle soul, Daryl. I mean, that's what I've mentioned that I personally witnessed. I mean, I'm just talking to you today for the first time, but, you know, back in 1993, I saw your kindness. I saw God working in your life before a time where you had even committed yourself to him. So I see that gentleness in you and the way he's always been working in your life.
Yeah, well, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful he was working in my life because, you know, I'm the man that I am today because of God's great love. And, you know, I think, you know, the one, you know, Bob, being blessed, you know, those who persecute you, you know, because you're going to be persecuted because of your walk and your faith with Christ. And can you withstand, you know, the things that are going to come against you? And I, you know what? I've had to be able to withstand everything that has come against me here. Because I remember when I first started walking with Christ a little over 18 years ago, you know, a lot of my former players goes, yeah, let's see how long he lasts with this. And it's been 18 years and I've still been walking. I've been preaching the last 12 years. I haven't looked back. And so the persecution of the media, you know, they persecuted me when I was like playing and I had drug problems and, you know, and I failed at baseball and something like this or whatever went wrong. But as soon as I turned over my life to Christ, they kind of laughed and mocked and said he'd be dead. But ever since my life has moved forward, guess what? They've never written about me. They don't even write about me no more. So, you know, the persecution is there. They don't even know what to say at this point, you know, because they're still waiting for the fall. But they don't understand. I know I live by 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I would never be able to get to the new if I was still looking at the old, Jim. So I don't look at the old me. I look at the new, who I am in Christ. And those that, you know, persecute me, you know, or talk about me, look at him. He's in religion now. He's Jesus freak or whatever it is. Whatever it may be, God has done some wonderful things,
yes,
in my life, and I'm forever grateful for, you know, his mercy and grace, and I understand mercy and grace because I don't live by success or what I used to be. I live by what God has done in my life.
Daryl, I really appreciate that you have filled your book full of scripture. Hebrews, of course, says that the word is living and active. And I sometimes tell my kids, you know, the word of God is magic, man. Once you read it, it's not like reading a normal book. It's going to be living and active inside of you and growing. And it's like a seed. And that's how God gets going in your life. And that Holy Spirit introduces you. Daryl, in closing, and our half an hour has gone by like the wind. We're so grateful, but there are people that are listening that are really hurting. And is there a scripture verse that you feel like you could share, in closing to really lift them up today?
Yeah, this is the year of 2020 of great challenges for all of us. And I'm thankful for the great challenges because when the pandemic came, I went immediately into my place of saturation in the word of God with the Holy Spirit to understand the importance of a season that we're going through. This is the time to get closer to God so you can understand who you are in Christ. And Proverbs 3:5-6, it talks about trust in the Lord heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. See, that's what we don't understand. You got to pull the meat out of that scripture. You know, and all your ways acknowledge him. Through all that we've been through all the struggle that we've been through this year, I have acknowledged him as Lord over my life, that I'm going to continue to follow these commandments and live by the principles and understand that I do not waver. I do not go back. I do not become, I didn't want to be, I stopped being a hypocrite. You got to stop being a hypocrite, saying Jesus, and I just want Jesus when things are good. You got to say Jesus all the time and don't straddle the fence and walk 24/7 with him. He is the coolest person you will ever meet. when you walk with him. There is no one like Jesus. So I would encourage you to fall in love with Jesus. And when you do, you don't need anything else. All you need to know is he's with you each day.
Daryl Strawberry, the community of Albuquerque, our listeners here on ABQ Connect, we're blessed that you could spend the time with us and appreciate your time very much. Daryl Strawberry's new book is called Turn Your Season Around. Great read. Thank you, my friend, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jim. I appreciate you, brother.